You're listening to the Dare to Be Different podcast, a podcast for people who want to live an extraordinary life. On this week's episode, Joe and Alicia talk about the Valley of Despair. Enjoy.
So have you started your New Year's resolutions, or have you already given up? That's what we want to talk about today, is how do you stay on a path even when it starts getting discouraging? Welcome to the Dare to Be Different podcast. We are so glad that you are taking the time to listen and that you want to live an extraordinary life. I'm here today with my favorite co-host after a little bit of a break, but my wife Alicia is here in the studio with me today. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Do you want to tell everybody, just in case they forgot, since we've been a couple weeks off, we took a couple weeks off over the holidays, tell everybody what the Dare to Be Different podcast is all about.
It is about living an extraordinary life, and we have five values that we try to run the thread through the whole thing, and it's honest, passionate, adventurous, grateful, and healthy.
Absolutely. And a lot of people, we're filming this here in early February, a lot of people have started some New Year's resolutions and probably have already given up on it. Did you have a New Year's resolution? Did you have anything in your mind that you wanted to do?
I really didn't. No, we have had quite a busy couple months. So really the goal every day is to get more accomplished than we did the day before and keep our heads above water. So
my New Year's resolution was to not wear my pajamas all day.
So. No, I wish my resolution would be to have a day where I get to wear my pajamas every day.
Oh,
that would be great.
There you go.
No.
So what are some of the, we've been talking to people about different things. I mean, the typical New Year's resolutions, get healthier.
Yeah, lose weight.
Lose weight. You know, maybe have more family time together. Maybe make more money.
Be financially responsible.
Yeah, start something new. Get out of debt.
Yeah.
And it just seems like you go about 2 weeks full on, head of steam, great, loving it. And then it starts getting tough, and then it gets tougher, and then you just give up and don't do it, or you start something different. Zach, I mean, again, based off of our experience, our 40-some years of being alive, it's a pretty typical cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty honest.
So I want to talk about something. Now, this is something in the business world that we're going to bring into our personal lives. And if anybody is watching, you can actually see them holding it up to the paper. This is a little diagram, and it's kind of in the shape of a U. So, and it has a couple stages of change, and it goes from phase one is uninformed optimism. So when you're starting something new, you have this uninformed optimism that, hey, this is going to be great. Like I started a boxing class, right?
Yeah.
Fitness boxing. You know, I'm not beating anybody. I have a fitness boxing, and I love it. I really do. And it was great. And those first couple days, you know, you're like, man, this is awesome. And because you're like, hey, I read all the reviews, all this stuff. I have uninformed optimism. Like I had no idea what this is going to be like long-term, but I absolutely love the thought of doing it. That's that uninformed. And so again, that's the New Year's resolution. That's the, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to, you know, whatever those things are, right? So uninformed optimism is the first step of change. Then you hit informed pessimism, right? So you go to the gym, and 3 days later, you wake up and you can barely move, right? So now you have this, oh my goodness, this is hard. What I'm trying to accomplish is difficult. And I think that that's where a lot of people stop, right? They kind of get to the informed pessimism, right? And then they end, like frustration hits, stuff like that. Would you say that that's probably the case?
Yeah, I mean, hurting in the morning is never a good thing. So you kind of go, well, this kind of stinks and I don't want to do it again. So I don't want to hurt any more than I hurt right now. So why would I, you know, continue to go back and do the thing that makes me feel like this?
Yeah. And it can be working out. It could be overeating. Like,
yeah.
You know, hey, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to go on a diet.
You wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, my stomach's growling and I just want to go eat all the pretzels or whatever.
Like, Sheetz is open 24 hours a day. I can go get a milkshake like right now. Or again, getting out of debt. You know, now it's starting to hurt because the things that I want, that my mind tells me that I want, I can't buy because I've put this debt-free plan in place. And now you start getting negative on it. Mm-hmm. People do this with businesses a lot. You know, they watch something, they're like, man, I can do that. I can start a business. And then they get started on it and they're like, oh, that's absolutely terrible. This is hard work. Oh my goodness. And then they give up and they go, oh, well, what's the next thing that I can start? You can look at all the franchises out there, the Subways and tropical smoothies and stuff like that. And, you know, you can go to a seminar and they tell you how awesome it is, how great it is to be your own boss. But then when reality starts hitting, you're like, oh my goodness, this is kind of tough.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't get to show up for work. You are in charge of absolutely every aspect of it. And it's like, a lot of people think that's like, oh, I'll be happy if I work for myself. Oh, I'll be happy if I, you know, open this franchise. Oh, I'll be happy if I, you know, it'll be easier or it'll be better this time around or whatever.
Yeah. And again, there's frustration hits, reality hits, starts to set in. The third phase. So again, you think that once you get past this informed pessimism, if you could make it past there, you're like on the road, you're clear. But there's actually one place further down that we're going to take you, which is called the Valley of Despair.
It sounds
hopeful.
The Valley
of Despair. So this is when reality smacks you in the mouth, right? This is when, you go to bed not even thinking that you're going to get out of bed to go the next morning to go to the gym. You're just like, I'm like, reality has just set in so hard. This isn't for me. I can't do this. I'm a loser, whatever the case may be. Especially when it comes to your goals. And that's where like depression hits, you know, all of those types of things. This is a really bad place to be in when it comes to the things that you want in your life. And we've seen a lot of people go through this. You know, they want to do something great. They want to be successful. And they get into this deep, dark place that they just can't move forward. They can't do anything more for their success. And that's where, again, a lot of these New Year's resolutions just peter out and die.
Yeah, Valley of Despair sounds terrible. It's like, hey, do you want to go to a hike to the Valley of Despair? Like, watch this new cartoon.
Yeah, you walk through the Valley of the Shadow.
Yeah, like, you want to watch this cartoon where all the little characters take a adventure to the Valley of Despair? No, I don't want to go there. Like, I don't want to watch that show. I don't want to take a hike there. It sounds horrible.
Yeah, it's like, know, when the little fun bunnies, you know, they cross over to the Valley of Despair and they're now skeletons with fangs or something, glowing
great
eyes.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Well, and again, these are business terms about change management in business. So when you institute a change in any organization or your life, these are the phases that you go through. You know, change, any change is hard. It really is. Whether it's personal, whether it's, you know, an organization, whether it's a family, whatever it is, change is tough. People like what they know, and they fall back on that really easy. And like I said, this is a business thing where when they're instituting change, you know, everybody's on board. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And then you start that change, and everybody goes, oh, this is not as much fun as we thought it would be. And then you get down to this valley where people start rebelling against it within an organization. Like, ah, oh, I don't want to do this. What, this isn't what we signed up for. And it's the Valley of Despair. Mm-hmm. So, and we're going to talk about how to not go through the Valley of Despair, or how to make that trip faster and easier here coming up. But I just want to go through the phases. So the next phase, now again, we're at the bottom of the U now, right? We're at the bottom of the U. This is as low as we can get in the Valley of Despair. So as we start coming out, we start getting informed optimism is the next step. So you go from informed pessimism on the one side as you're going down towards the valley, and then you have informed optimism as you come out. And that's where those things like, oh, wait, I still got up and worked out or whatever the case may be, and my body is actually changing a little bit. Like, maybe this isn't as bad as I thought it was. You know, maybe I'm not a, you know, tub of lard. Maybe I actually can do this. Maybe this isn't just who I am. Maybe I can get out of debt. You know, I paid off one of my credit cards. Now, wow, this has gotten a little bit easier. And that informed optimism is that next step. The last step, we're just going to call it success. Success and fulfillment is the last step. That's where you're like, you're not, no going back. You're not looking behind you. You're going forward. Whatever that change is in your life, you are, it is now part of your life. You'd actually have to change away from that if, you know, you've created that habit, whatever the case may be. So what do you think about those steps? Do you think that that's a, I know that the terms are a little bit weird, but do you think that's kind of what we go through when we try to develop habits and try to make positive change in our life?
I think it is. It's as with anything, it's like uncertain time. You know, you don't know how it's going to be. And then it's like, there's a little bit of hope going in, and then you're like down in that terrible valley, and then you're like, see the glimmer of hope at the end, you know? So it's kind of takes you on a, you know, you're excited to head into something. You're not really sure. Then you get the depression part, which is horrible. And then, you know, the glimmers of hope to get to success. So,
yeah. And just to tell on myself a little bit, just so that we don't think that
you never
Joe has this
anything.
All figured out, because I certainly don't.
What?
So as I mentioned, I started the boxing class 2 weeks, almost every day, going strong, feeling good, right? I am in the, I've went from informed optimism, you know, then I actually got through the, you know, even the informed pessimism. You know, I woke up like, oh my gosh, I'm freaking sore and could barely walk and all those types of things. And then I tweaked my back like a year or about a week and a half ago. And three chiropractor trips and a doctor's appointment later, I'm actually able to sit up straight, which is great.
Two prescriptions.
Yeah, so I am now in the valley of despair when it comes to my fitness goals.
It's been a fun journey to ride along with you on.
Oh, I'm sure it has. I'm so pleasant when I'm in pain.
He is a good patient.
Yep. Everyone's like, man, I wish everybody was like Joe when he got hurt. That would be great.
Yeah. He makes a great patient.
Yep. But I've actually, you know, set a time where I'm like, okay, my back's starting to feel better. And I'm going to go in, you know, in 2 days from now, and actually going to do my next class. And I'm hoping that I get back into, you know, informed optimism, and I can start going towards my path of success there to kind of come out the other side. Because I hit the valley of despair pretty hard. Like, I went from like eating great and all that stuff, and I tweaked my back, and I'm like, where are the freaking Oreos? I'm eating every Oreo, every, what else we go through? Pop-Tarts. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I heard the Pop-Tart comment. I was upstairs and I heard you say to one of our girls, and there aren't even any Pop-Tarts. And I'm like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah,
because a week before that, you were like, get rid of all the snacks, like, no junk food.
All I want
what
is
are we
fruits
doing?
And vegetables.
Yes, we need fresh produce in this house, no junk. And then, it, you know, a week later, it's, where are the Pop-Tarts? Who ate them all? Yes. Oh my God.
So, but I am on my way out of the valley of despair.
Out of the Pop-Tart valley.
Yes, the where there's nothing but junk food on the sides of the valley. But I want to give a couple tips, because, again, this is something that I'm trying to do, and I want to see if I can help anybody with my suggestions that I'm giving to myself to come to stay in that valley of despair as short of a time as possible, because we're all going to hit it. Anytime we try to make a change, we're going to hit that. There's no way of coming, you know, unless it's just such a positive change that there's no price that you're paying for it, anything like that. You're going to go through these stages as you try to be successful in that change. So the first is burn the ships. So even if it's just in your mind, figure out a way that you go, it's going to be really hard for me to go backwards. You know, when it comes to fitness, you know, I told everybody that I was out boxing. I literally told absolutely everybody. I have friends now who are like, hey, how did you do boxing? You know, I have a couple people that I was actually taking the class with, people that I grew up with, you know, in high school. And they happen to be in one of the classes. So now, like, we're gym buddies, and they text, hey, we're going to the gym tonight. So, you know, figure out a way to burn that bridge. It can be telling people about your goal, making it public, like, hey, I'm going to lose 25 pounds, and tell somebody, be accountable to somebody. You know, maybe there's something, you know, with if you want to get out of debt, maybe you cut up your credit cards, you know, cut them up, cancel them. You know, do something where you burn the bridge, so it's actually hard to go backwards. Any other suggestions when it, like, the burn the bridge suggestion? Any other comments?
No, not really. It's just, you know, you have to make it hard to simply, you know, just take a little step backwards and end up in that same you know, starting point that you were before you even started doing anything like burning, you know, like cutting up the credit cards or whatever, or just of sometimes it's a physical reminder of, you know, this is in my calendar. Every morning I wake up earlier and whatever and do it. And it's set goals that for whatever works for you, you know, your own personality better, but be honest enough with yourself to know what's going to work with you so that you're not taking the steps backwards to end up in the place where you were when you wanted to see the change in the beginning.
I had I read an article about somebody who did this, and I don't have the guts to do this. But he was drastically overweight, and so he put on a Speedo, took pictures of himself in the Speedo, like in this, you know, terrible shape that he was in, and sent them to his best friend that he trusted, and said, if I do not hit my goals, if I am not doing the things that I'm saying I'm going to do, going every day, he's like, I want you to check in on me. I want you to be accountable. I want you to put this picture on social media. I want you to send it out to everybody that I know. And I mean, man, what a great way of burning the ships. Like suddenly there's like huge motivation to stick with what you're doing. And I just thought, I mean, it's brilliant. It takes a lot of guts to do something like that and a lot of trust. And then he was saying like, I don't care what happens. Even if I come to you begging not to send them out, you have to tell me right now that you will not listen to me and you will send those out no matter what. And he said the friend never sent them out because it was such a strong motivation to not go backwards. So I think sometimes we just have to find that. You have to find that thing that is going to motivate you. Even if, like I said, even if it's in your mind, even if, you know, for me, you know, one of the things is I want to be able to run around with the grandkids. You know, I want to be able to.
I think you're a far cry from not being able to run around with the grandkids, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, from the same side though, you know, there's times where I climb, get to the top of the steps and I'm like,
like so. Really? So,
come on.
I think you're being a little dramatic. Also, I'm thinking about your friend that you would send these pictures to and
there's no one that I trust that much.
Oh,
No, I have a couple friends and they know who they are that is listening right now. I'm
Craig.
Not doing this with you, Craig. No freaking way. So, but yeah, I mean, there's something, some switch in your mind that you have to flip that says, I'm not going back.
Right.
You know, I've heard of people, again, talking about getting out of debt, you know, where they will, you know, they get rid of the excuses. I don't want to destroy my credit cards. What if I need one? So they get a pan of water and they put their credit card in the middle of a pan of water, put it in a freezer. So they actually have to like melt it or bust the ice up to get to that one credit card that they have left.
Ice fishing just to use the credit card.
Yeah. Give it to somebody else. You know, put yourself on a budget, you know, have somebody else manage your money. You know, these are all things that help you to burn that ship so that you can't go back.
Right.
And if you guys haven't heard that term before, it comes from pretty much, you know, an invading army would come in on boats and they, I think it was Hannibal or something like that. He essentially, once they landed, lit their ships on fire because the only way that these people would be able to survive is if they actually made it through the land and conquered it. So that's the kind of thing that we're talking about is find a way so you can't go back to the life that you don't want anymore. So the second thing you kind of hinted on this was have a process. You know, sometimes, you know, for me, it's just about getting out and starting something and relying on that process. You know, so if I can grab the boxing gloves, grab the water, get into the car and just make it to the gym, everything else kind of takes care of it. I'll get in there. I might not like it for the first five minutes as we're warming up and all that stuff. But once we get going, it's all good. So, but I have to have that process. I have to have, this is where my gloves are. This is what I do next. And this is, so that system, I can rely on that instead of my own willpower sometimes.
Yeah, there's a set time at the classes. You know, you have to show up. You know, you're not, oh, I'll do it before I go to bed. Oh, I'll do it. Forget it. I'll do it tomorrow morning before I go to work or whatever. Or I'll just, you know, take a walk on my lunch break and knowing full well that you're probably not going to get to all those things or do any of it because, you know, you make up the next excuse why not to do it.
Yeah, so you almost set up the process so that your excuses don't have room. You know,
yeah.
if you want to eat better, you know, prepare your meals ahead of time. That way it's not like, oh man, it's 7 o'clock. I just got home. I'm hungry. I'm just going to order a pizza.
Or Pop-Tarts.
Or Pop-Tarts. You you know, you have your meals prepared ahead of time so that you just kind of take them out, you heat them up or whatever the case may be. That's a process. You know, hey, I take this out. This is what I eat. I don't have to worry about something else. Again, a budget is a process, you know, budgeting out. There's a lot of great people that teach budgeting. Dave Ramsey's one, you know, and he says, you break out cash, get envelopes, and you put money into those envelopes. And when there's no more money in that envelope for car payment or clothes or going out or anything like that, you're done spending for that month.
Right.
So it becomes, you know, that process. You don't have to worry about a credit card bill surprising you because you just go out and charge it. You have this process. You go, oh, I got $30 left for my food budget. I better go to the grocery store instead of the restaurant.
Right.
So, and then again, that way you can rely on the process instead of your feelings. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The third and last thing is define wins along the way. You know, any time of change that you're going through, it's really hard to say, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. I'm going to lose 50 pounds, or even more vague, I'm going to get in shape. You know, define some wins so that you can give yourself little rewards, little pats on the back, and make them easy and make them quick so that you have some success under your belt as you're going through this. So as you're getting less motivated because reality is starting to set in, or you're starting to head towards that valley of despair, there's little wins that kind of lift your head back up. I have one. I just got it the other day. It's a necklace that has little rings that represent 3 days. And so every time you accomplish 3 days of whatever habit you're trying to do, you put one more ring on the necklace. And the goal is to have 7 rings, so 21 days on that necklace. And you keep it on there as long as you keep that habit going. And then if you you know, if you have to start over for some reason, you know, you start over and then you earn those back. For me, it's just a little way of, you know, gamifying my habit that I want to do. You know, it's just a little win. It's a little success that I can do. I put a thing on my, you know, in 3 days, I get to put a little ring on. Right now it's empty. So you know, hopefully I'll have that filled up. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's knowing what it's going to take to encourage yourself, you know, and trying to follow along that path. Like for you, the necklace with the, you know, little rings means a lot to you. For me, that probably wouldn't do much to encourage me because I have a very different personality than you do. You know, you're very competitive. I'm not, you know, so just know your personality, know what you need to encourage yourself, and try and find something that will help motivate you with those encouragements.
Yeah, I remember when we were getting out of debt, you know, we would pay off something and I would come in like, honey, guess what? We just paid this off.
Yeah.
And it was a huge deal. It was a win. You know, it wasn't like, oh, we had this long-term goal of getting out of debt. You know what I mean? Completely out of debt. But there were a lot of little victories along the way that we celebrated.
Right.
You know, so again, when you're working out, it could be a certain poundage that you lose or a certain poundage that you lift, or, you know, I was able to do this whole workout without stopping or whatever the case may be. You know, I use my Apple Watch a lot, you know, so they give you like little, hey, great job. You did
rings.
It today. You know, you've exercised this much. You know, I have friends that get notifications on my Apple Watch, and I'll get little encouraging texts from them going, wow, great workout. Good job. You know, those are great things that keep you, like I said, out of that valley or in there as short amount of time as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's always good to be encouraged along the way and just find those little milestones that do keep you going on the same path that you wanted, because you don't want to end up, you know, backwards and back at the same place feeling, oh, next January 1st, because, you know, it's a new year, I really still want that same resolution. You know, what do you want to do differently so that you're not saying the same thing next January? No, for real this time, you know, set yourself up to have the success of not being able to replay the same, you know, list of what you want to accomplish the following January.
Yeah, that's great advice. So that's all I have. I mean,
it's hard,
I know is
hard to believe.
It is hard to believe, but I really hope that everybody that's listening, I do hope that you set some goals for yourself this year. Forget about January 1st. Forget about New Year's resolutions. Start today. Get a goal in mind. Know that you're going to go through this process. Know that you're going to be excited. Then you're going to be frustrated. Then you're going to get a face full of reality. And then you're going to come out of it. And then you're finally going to be successful. So, know that you're going through it and do it anyway. Be healthy. Be adventurous. Be grateful. Whatever those goals are that you have in your life, pick something, go for it, and don't let anything stop you.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope that you got something from this, and I also hope that you will share this with somebody that needs it. So we love you. We will catch you next week.